بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله العظيم من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت، بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله، أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة ونصح للأمة وكشف الغمة وتركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك، فعليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أمين يا رب العالمين. وأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله، وقد أمرنا بالحق وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ثم أما بعد. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bearing witness that none has the right to be worshipped or unconditionally obeyed except for Him. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His final messenger. We ask Allah to send His peace and blessings upon him, his family, his companions, and those that follow in their blessed path. And we ask Allah to make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, often when we think of the word sadaqah, charity, we think of a concept of material wealth being given to serve, to facilitate the service to someone else. And oftentimes when you quote the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he talks about the three things that would outlive a person, and the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned a righteous child that would make dua for you, that would supplicate to Allah for you after you depart. He mentioned beneficial knowledge alayhi salatu wasalam, and he also mentioned sadaqah jariyah, a continuous charity. And automatically when you think of the word charity, you think of a fundraiser. And this is not a fundraising khutbah. I will not be asking you for money during or after this khutbah. But part of the reason is that the only time we talk about charity in the Muslim community is when we talk about it in terms of money, or when we talk about it in the context of a fundraiser. Meaning it's not often, if any time, that you would ever hear charity spoken about, particularly a continuous charity, a sadaqah jariyah, that is spoken about outside of a fundraiser. On the other hand, or subsequently, usually when you hear about legacy, legacy is almost always spoken about in terms of how people will remember you, how the world will remember you after you are gone. Particularly the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, two hadiths of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, where there was a man, or there was a janazah that was passing by, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it was passing by, he heard the companion speaking well of that person, and the Prophet ﷺ said, wajabat, 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 it has become mandatory, it has become mandatory, it has become mandatory. Another janazah passes by and they didn't say the nicest things about that person, and the Prophet ﷺ said again, wajabat, it has become mandatory. And he mentioned alayhi salatu wasalam that for the first person, it has become mandatory for that person to be admitted into paradise by your good testimony. The second person, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, it has become mandatory for that person to be punished by your testimony as well. And he established a foundation that you are the witnesses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. However, though that hadith exists, and the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that a person as they leave this world, mustarihan aw mustarihan min, either relieved from this world or the world relieved from that person, legacy in Islam is far more encompassing. In fact, some people will leave this world with the wonderful mention of people, but all of it in vain, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of the insincerity that led to the pursuit of that mansion rather than something that is praiseworthy in substance that naturally earns the testimony of the people. These two concepts, if misunderstood, can become highly problematic. On one hand, charity, and particularly a continuous charity after you, as being something far more meaningful than just money. On the other hand, legacy, and that which you leave behind, being far more than the praise of people or people saying great things about you. Because in our religion, legacy is about how you are resurrected. It's not about how you are remembered. It's ultimately about how you face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ultimately, the measure of charity, a sadaqah jariyah, is going to be to the extent that Allah deems it measurable, not what people quantify. And so charity can be far more encompassing. Legacy can be far more encompassing. And the most beautiful blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bestow upon you is that you are part of something that's greater than you that no one ever ascribes to you. You're part of something that's greater than you that no one ever ascribes to you. You are able to influence, you are able to act, you are able to do something that is a charity in the most wholesome sense, but that does not necessarily get ascribed to you after you leave. In fact, you don't seek it out. How do we understand this in terms of this blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us? If you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is who he is sallallahu alaihi wasallam, most worthy of our praise, most worthy of our love alayhi salatu wasalam, most worthy of us invoking Allah's peace and blessings upon him, most worthy of being followed, most worthy of being celebrated. If there was any human being that could make a claim, then it would be the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw himself as part of something greater, as part of the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And just as Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he established or worked with his son Ismail alayhi salam to raise the foundations of the Kaaba, saw not the greatness in the structure of the Kaaba, but the greatness in nations coming for years and years and generations to come to worship that which he worshipped and to abide by that which he was taught to abide by, and to follow the commandments as he was taught to follow those commandments alayhi salam. Likewise, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam enters into Mecca, and you can really imagine this if you were in that place, there's a place there for the insincere to gloat. When he comes back to Mecca, his beloved homeland, where he was run out and humiliated, and typically you would want to replace a memory of hardship with a memory of victory and triumph. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam puts his nose to the back of his riding beast, enters into Mecca with the greatest of humility, and his greatest concern is what? Oh Allah, have I delivered the message? Have I done my part? Likewise, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dwells today, in his blessed chamber, in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the thought of people congregating to send salam upon him was not what motivated him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Don't turn my grave into a place of Eid, into a celebration. Send your salawat upon me wherever you are, and it will reach me sallallahu alaihi wasallam." But what was it that made him smile alayhi salatu wasalam? It was opening his curtain and seeing the people in salah. That this message that he gave his blood, sweat and tears for would continue. The blessing of continuity. The blessing of knowing that from these people, their children will pray and their children will pray and call other people to pray. And that worship would outlive the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His Khulafa al-Rashideen, who loved him so much, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who understood the importance of continuity, and that's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strove for, was the continuity of that which he worked for, understood that they had to appoint a Khalifa and continue to institutionalize what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had formed the foundation for, even before they placed his body into the grave sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was that dream that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had, where he woke up and he smiled, not that someone would bear his name after him, but instead, what did he see? He saw in his dream, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a young man who had a scar on his face. And he woke up with such happiness and he said, "Man hadha al-fata min nasli?" Who is this beautiful young man from my descendants, الَّذِي يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ عَدْلًا بَعْدَ أَنْ مُلِيَ الْجَوْرَ, who will fill this earth with justice after it has been filled with injustice. What excited Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not that another Khalifa would come bearing the name Umar. What excited Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what motivated him, what pleased him from what he saw, was that someone would continue that legacy and that work, that there would be continuity, that it would move forward, and that a great man would rise from his descendants radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and that was none other than Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala. And as Umar the second took that same institution and became the fifth of Khulafa al-Rashideen, or one of Khulafa al-Rashideen, even though he lived after them, in the beautiful way that Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah described it, that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is to Khulafa al-Rashideen what Rajab is to the other sacred months. They're disconnected by space, but still follow in likeness. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala, with everything that he had done, with all the reforms that he was able to make in this ummah, with everything that he was able to contribute to this world, someone comes up to him and says to him, "Jazakallahu khayran," may Allah reward you for what you have done for Islam. Jazakallahu khayran, may Allah reward you for what you have done for Islam. And that man lowers his head in humility and says, "Bal jazallahu al-Islam anni khayra." Rather, may Allah reward Islam for me for what it has done for me. I didn't do anything for Islam. Islam did for me. What these people realized is that being a part of something greater than yourself, being a part of something that has the vitality, that has the blessing, that has the mark of approval from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of being inna deena inda Allah al-Islam. The religion, the way with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. That being a part of that in any capacity is the greatest approval. And I want you to think of if an honored guest was brought and you were allowed to be a part of the caravan that accompanied that honored guest, and that guest is honored to a point, for right or for wrong, that even if you get to carry the shoes or sweep behind, you are honored by virtue of being a part of that caravan. There is no more honored guest than this guest of al-Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with, many of us not having to work for it, many of us not having to find it, many of us having it handed to us by our parents without much effort at all, and some of us having to work for it, some of us having to search for it, and recognizing as we came into it that this is special, that this message is truly special. And if you ever took a step back and tried to imagine your life, and some people don't have to imagine their life without it because they lived without it. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that he feared for the day, إِذْ نَشَأَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ مَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ, where people would rise up in Islam that don't know ignorance, because sometimes you don't recognize how special something is unless you've lived without it. May Allah protect us from ever living without it. Allahumma ameen. Sometimes you don't know how special something is. The way you treat money that you've inherited or that's been given to you for free versus hard-earned money. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned people that taste the sweetness of faith. Why? Or so much so that they would hate to leave it or to depart from it like a person would hate to be thrown into a fire. Because they know what it was like to be without it. And when they found it, they found something not just worth living with, but worth living for. Not just worth abiding by themselves, but calling others to abide by it as well. Not just something that they found purpose in for themselves, but something that they wished other people would find their purpose in as well. Something that transformed them and transformed through them. Something that has the power to take you from viewing the world as being there solely for the purpose of serving you. And everything around the world being meant to serve your individual happiness, to being a world that is full of an opportunity to serve and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your entire lens becomes inverted at that point. And you start looking at everything around you as an opportunity to serve something greater than you. The benefits of that are many. For one, if a person is self-serving and a person dwells in this world with trying to turn everything into a vehicle for service to the nafs, to the self, that person will always be in a state of misery. Because your nafs is a hungry nafs. It can never consume enough. And eventually, it runs out of things to serve it. And it reaches a place of maximum consumption, after which is nothing but sadness. If some people are able to move and graduate from that place of service to self to service to others, but live for the people. And certainly it's more noble than the first category of being self-serving. Eventually, if you live for the people and to serve the people for the sake of the people, when you find that those efforts are not appreciated, when you find that the same people that you do good for give you nothing but a headache, you burn out. Prophet ﷺ taught us, الَّذِي يُخَالِطُ النَّاسِ وَيَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ أَذَاهُمْ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الَّذِي لَا يُخَالِطُ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ أَذَاهُمْ. The one who serves the people, or who mixes with the people, sorry, in a capacity of serving them, not for them, for something greater. And bears their hardship, bears what comes to them from harm, is greater than the person who does not mix with the people and does not tolerate their harm. So when someone says, I'm done with this community, I'm done with working with Muslims, Muslims give me a headache, I'm abandoning Islamic work, they're all exhausting, I'm just going to pray on my own from now on and do these things from now on, you have to actually go back and reassess why you were part of the community in the first place. What you expected from the people in the first place. And maybe the problem was not the expected hardship that comes with mixing with the people and serving them. Maybe the problem was that your service to them was limited to the physical. But you have to recognize that when you serve the people for Allah, you also have to donate your ego. And that's the hardest donation to make. That's the hardest thing to put on a platter and to say, I don't want it, I don't need it. That's much more difficult than physically serving someone. But the third level of that, which is serving for Allah, seeing yourself as part of something greater. And what makes you happy and makes you sad, the fluctuation and the metric for success is restricted to whether or not that which you are serving is growing and that which you are serving is succeeding, and if you are maintaining sincerity and still being a part of that. It's special. It's different. What does it mean to serve for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I can ask all the brothers to please move forward inshaAllah. There are people that are standing in the back. Make space for them as much as you can inshaAllah ta'ala. So please move forward. So the question does not just come back down to what are you serving, it's why are you serving? Who are you serving for? And subhanAllah, something can happen in that process that can be very dangerous, because just as in our individual ibadah, as in our individual acts of worship, shaitan can hijack an intention and turn something that is in its essence good into a pursuit that's not noble at all, that can also happen to our collective work. So if shaitan can't get you with sin, shaitan tries to corrupt your good deeds. One of the ways that it happens in our collective work or in the quality of service, the capacity of service, is that you actually start thinking that everything depends upon you. And you actually start to drink your own Kool-Aid, believe in your own self. You start to believe the praises of people around you, and you start to have an exaggerated sense of self-importance. Not in a way of doing for people, in a way of receiving from people. And subhanAllah, there is a very powerful statement from Utbah bin Ghazwan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, radiallahu anhu, where he used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ فِي نَفْسِي عَظِيمًا وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ صَغِيرًا أو أَنْ أَكُونَ فِي نَفْسِي عَظِيمًا وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ صَغِيرًا. I seek refuge in Allah from being inflated in my own sight and belittled in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where maybe I see myself with a little bit of too much. Whereas I might be very small in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not in the spirit of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, who could look back and though he had completely exhausted himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for this religion, for the reform that he brought to the ummah, everything was off of his back, his clothes, blood, sweat and tears, and all he could say was, may Allah reward Islam for what it's done for me. I didn't do it, or I did not serve Islam, Islam served me. Because the benefit of that wholesome belonging to something that's greater than you, and always recognizing that it is greater than you, that at no point do you ever become greater than it, that's the most fulfilling part of this message. That you get to be a part of it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to be part of something that's greater. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to serve. That you are honored by Allah for being able to serve His deen. And in whatever capacity that may be, even if it's picking shoes off the ground and putting it on the rack. Even if it's cleaning the bathrooms in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In whatever capacity Allah allows you to serve, there is a benefit in that, and that is the greatest honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bestow on a person. And subhanAllah, if the concern becomes continuity of that religion, then the concern of people giving you something for your ego dwindles. That's not an excuse for us to be hard with people. That's not an excuse for you to act belligerent with people. Because whoever does not thank the people does not thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not an excuse to not show appreciation and gratitude to people in a way that encourages them to continue, not in a way that inflates their ego. It's not an excuse for us. We don't have to be that person to someone else. But it's for us to calibrate internally and to say, Alhamdulillah, Allah allowed us to be a part of this. Alhamdulillah, Allah allowed us to be a part of this in any capacity. I don't care if that's in the relief sector or the da'wah sector or spreading knowledge or giving charity or just being there for someone. I don't care if that's in serving the masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, physical structure. I don't care what it is, but Alhamdulillah, Allah allows us and calls us to be a part of something that gives you life. Lima yuhyikum. That gives you a sense of purpose, a sense of being able to move forward. The question is, have you accepted Allah's invitation to be a part of that? And if you are a part of it, are you expecting something from it that would corrupt your pursuit of it? Are you seeking from it what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not allowed you to seek from it? Dear brothers and sisters, when we look at the Prophet ﷺ, when we look at our father Ibrahim ﷺ, when we look at the Umars, Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, may Allah be pleased with him. When we look at Musa ﷺ, we just fasted Ashura yesterday, and some are maybe even fasting today. When Musa alayhi salam split the seas and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him victory, it was not that Allah gave Musa victory that made Musa happy. It was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would allow this message of Musa alayhi salam to continue. Just like when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam raised his hands in Badr, and he said, if this group of people is eliminated, then you won't be worshipped on earth, O Allah. So the victory of Badr was not that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam could gloat, or could feel a sense that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, defeated his enemies with a small army because Allah sent angels to support him, or Allah answered his dua. It was that the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam would continue. And I was thinking about something today. Subhanallah, as tonight we'll be talking about and discussing the life of Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz rahimahullah ta'ala, Malcolm X. May Allah have mercy on him and accept his sacrifices. And I was thinking about a quote from Dr. Betty Shabazz, may Allah have mercy on her, when she actually approached Imam Zayd Shakir, may Allah preserve him, in one of the masajid, one of the conferences, a recent conference, or not a very recent conference, one of the last conferences that she was able to live to see. And she told him, she said, the socialists have claimed Malcolm. The black nationalists have claimed Malcolm. When are you Muslims going to claim Malcolm because he was a believer? Why aren't you recognizing that his core identity was Islam? It was so important to him that more important to him than any one of the identities that he held was al-Islam. Why are you not recognizing that and furthering what he built upon? I know when you think about Muhammad Ali, the great boxer, the great athlete, the great warrior for truth, who took on the entire United States government over its stance of militarism. There was a paper that came out, an article that came out last year about how the Facebook page, which carries his brand, has not mentioned his Islam for 2 years. That it only talks about his social justice work and talks about his, his athleticism and some of his inspirational quote. And there is an effort to eliminate his Islam. In 1976, I'll quote you exactly what Muhammad Ali said. 1976, Muhammad Ali, may Allah have mercy on him, said that everything I do now is to please Allah. Being a Muslim is more important to me than being black or being an American. It drives my every being. He said that in 1976. He used to, may Allah have mercy on him, autograph 200 da'wah pamphlets on a regular basis, because he said, if it has my name on it, then people won't throw it away when they get a Why Islam brochure, they get a da'wah pamphlet. And you know what I thought to myself about that, subhanAllah? Allah mentioned to us Luqman al-Hakim alayhi salam. Luqman al-Hakim, who had a noble reputation amongst the Arabs, but his core identity was taken away amongst them. They used to quote Amthal Luqman, the parables of Luqman al-Hakim. But somehow the main purpose of his being and his existence and his doing, which was Tawheed, monotheism, the first thing he said to his son, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la dhulmun azim, do not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna shirka la dhulmun azim, it's the greatest of transgressions. Somehow the Arabs managed to take that away from his identity, though it was his core identity. There are people before us who worked very hard for Islam to reach us. Some of them lived 1400 years ago. Some of them lived 50 years ago. Some of them are still amongst us. There are people that have given themselves for this message, not so that they could be praised, so that their name could be on a plaque, but that have given themselves for this message and took pride not in themselves but in its continuity and serving its continuity. And the greatest way we honor that sacrifice is sacrificing the way that they sacrificed. As one of the companions who ran on the day of Uhud, after the mushrikeen shouted out, "Qatalna Muhammad," we killed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he started to say, as he was rushing them back to the battlefield, "Then die for what he died for." You don't have the opportunity, you don't get to just sit down on the battlefield and put your weapons down now and cry over the loss of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Instead, why don't you go and throw yourselves and die for what he died for sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because you were living for what he lived for alayhi salatu wasalam. So now you even die for what he died for sallallahu alayhi wasalam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use us for this message of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to consume us in serving this message of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that what we exhaust ourselves in, and that what our body is consumed in, and what our health and youth is used in, and what our wealth is used for, is for the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this incredible vehicle that He's given to us, which is for the betterment of everyone around us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that on the Day of Judgment, when a person is asked, عَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِيمَا أَثْنَى عَنْ عُمْرِهِ فِيمَا أَثْنَى, about the years that he lived on this earth and what he used those years, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that every day of our lives be used for his sake. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when we are asked, عَنْ جِسْمِهِ فِيمَا أَبْلَى, about our bodies and how they were consumed, that our health and our bodies and our spirits and everything was used for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when we are asked about our knowledge and what benefit came through it, that it benefited in ways that even we were not made aware in this world. And that it was for the benefit of other than our own egos or our own selves. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when we are asked about our wealth, how we earned it and how we spent it, that we earned it in only ways that were halal, and that we spent it in only ways that were blessed and accepted. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfiru li wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimin fastaghfiru innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والعاقبة للمتقين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا ولا تعذبنا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم اغفر لوالدينا رب ارحمهما كما ربونا صغارا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم انصر المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والكاذبين ودمر أعداء الدين اللهم أهلك الظالمين بالظالمين وأخرجنا وإخواننا من بينهم سالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمائه يزد لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة